What is up, skis, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the GX Hockey Cast. We're on episode 150, Da Monster. Jonas Gustafsson of My Little Hockey Show, where once a week I go through all the major news and what's happenings around the NHL, semi-focused in on the Leafs and Flames. That's my favorite teams, but I'll be discussing all 32 teams on this podcast. And let's dive the... Let's just get in there right now. Holy crap, that was a stressful-ass game last night. Toronto Maple Leafs and the Florida Panthers kick off the second round, and it did not disappoint. Oh, so, obviously... We'll get to Stallards in a moment, but let's just start with that amazing start of that game for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Silly Willie, come on down, William Nylander. Welcome to the second round of the playoffs. Double dipping that ship the other night. Two nice goals from Willie, and he was fantastic. I thought Tavares had a great game as well. I didn't notice the top line very much outside of Matthew Nyes. He was, I felt like he had a pretty good game. Matthews and Marner, a little quiet. In game one, Matthews, I have been noticing this all year. I've been chirping him all season long about this, but that guy is missing the net so much this year. It is scary. Like, I have never seen him miss so many good looks, shots, like opportunities that he would never miss. He is just missing the net. And the big one last night was that empty net miss. Like, I was so fucking angry at that. And I'm like, unnecessarily angry. I did not need to get that angry about it, but I was just like, dude, this guy is supposedly, you know, getting talked about, oh, this guy could usurp Ovechkin as the greatest goal scorer in the world. He can't hit a fucking open net. Like, I lost my mind on that one. Like, immediately the storylines were rolling through. Oh, Matthews misses the open net. Florida comes back down, ties it, wins in overtime. The Leafs blow game one. Like, that's all that was running through my head in that moment that he missed them. Like, it's because it happens so often that, you know, a chance like that, you miss that, it comes back the other way and it's in your net. And that's just how fucking hockey goes, baby. But thankfully, that did not happen. And any other year, I feel like that is exactly what would have happened. Matthews misses, boom, Reinhardt, Marchand comes down, top cheese, it's over. But not this time. Not this time. They bent. And they bent. Holy fuck, did they ever bend? But they didn't break. They did not break. They might have warped. They might have cracked. They did not break, though. So, great on that. So, let's talk about Stallers and the lack of discipline that will be coming towards Sam Bennett. Not overly shocked. I watched the game. I watched the thing. I saw the 47 replays of it. I saw Stallers throwing up on the bench and yada, yada, yada. It wasn't really that bad of a hit, man. Like, he didn't hit him that hard. Like, Stallard sold it very much so. Like, it was a solid second and a half after the contact initiated that Stallard reacted to it in a very exaggerated way. I don't think it was that one particular bump in the head that got him. I think it was an accumulation of a few hits to the head that Stallard has suffered throughout the playoffs right here. Stallard has never been a goaltender. This is the most games he has ever started in a row in his career. He's never been a starter in his career, so he may not be used to the workload. And yeah, so I still don't know as of right now what is going on with Stallard. He was throwing up on the bench. That is a common sign of a concussion. You do get nauseous and you can throw up. So it's not, that doesn't look good. Now, in the situation, yes, Wall goes in and he allows three goals. But aside from the first goal, there's not really much he could have done on that, on those other two goals. They were a deflection and then a double deflection. So I'm not gonna rag on Wall that bad or at all, honestly. He came in at a horrible time. Like, it was siege time. The Florida Panthers, that third period, that was a completely different looking team from the first two periods. I'm like, what the hell team is this? What the hell is that? Scaring the shit out of me. They were destroying the Leafs in the third period. And Wall just had to be in there for that. And it was not easy. And coming in cold, he didn't take that. He had the opportunity to do a warm-up. They didn't take it. I think that was because there was a power play or something going on. Regardless, yeah, he lets in a bunch of goals. Didn't look great. Didn't look bad. I mean, he made some good saves there. There was a nice glove save through traffic that he got. No rebounds. So, again, me as the Leaf fan, I'm not, like, waving the white flag already just because Stallard is out. It's like, no, Joseph Woll's a good goaltender. I think, yeah, it sucks because Stallard was playing so good. But, you know, not like not that amazing. Like Stolarz had some really good games early in the playoffs against Ottawa. Then he started to fall back to reality a little bit. His save percentage was under 900 at a point there. So it's not like he was stealing the Leafs games, but he was definitely making big stops at the right times and kept the Leafs in the games. And he played great. So yeah, I would prefer to have Stolarz in the net, but if Wall goes in there, I'm not like, oh, this is the end of it all. It's going to be over. No, Wall is a good goaltender. And yeah, I feel completely fine with him. Now on the side of the discipline, like no call on the ice, no discipline after the game, nothing like that. You know, honestly, I'm more pissed off about the Brad Marchand alleged cross-checking thing early in the game. Like, what the fuck was that? I said to the homie Kyle, I'm like, yo, looks like Brad Marchand got his referee payments in on time, because that was fucking bullshit. That was garbage. And I was like, oh, great. It's going to be this. The referees are going to determine the series. We're going to be the stars of this series, everybody, where everyone's going to be talking about us by the end of this one. So that's great. So officiating continues to be bad. Nothing new here. That's just another obstacle that all teams have to deal with, aside from Brad Marchand's teams, because he pays off the refs. It's obvious. It's clear. It's true. I know it. I saw it. He told me. Okay, there you go. But anyway, Brad gets away with that. Early shenaniganery. Outside of that, I didn't really notice Brad Marchand all that much. Matthew Tkachuk was pretty quiet. They kept him pretty dormant. Didn't really ruffle his feathers very much. I didn't even see him getting into it after very many scrums, which is shocking. And that probably plays into the fact that he's definitely not 100%, man. Like, yeah, he's putting up points, but he's playing like 14 minutes, kind of sheltered, and he's not getting engaged, you know, 100% of the time like he normally is. So obviously something is ailing Matthew Tkachuk, and we'll just leave it at that because I don't want to wake the beast, and we'll just let him be who he is right now, and that's fine. It looked like Barkov took a pretty rough hit the other night, and he was pretty shaken by that one, but it was a pretty good battle there between Matthews and Barkov, the two defensive centers, and, you know, no slouch is Sam Reinhart. That's a very equal matchup between he and Mitch Marner. I mean, Reinhart got nominated for the Selke this year. Super awesome freaking two-way forward to Sam Reinhart that doesn't get a lot of attention, but I think that's a very, like, perfect matchup. Matthews and Barkov, and then you have his name has been vaporized from Sam Reinhart and Mitch Marner. I think those two are like pretty much cancel each other out. And then on top of that, you got Nyes, who is just crushing it out there. He's maybe, you know, kind of like Bennett. I don't know. I'm not going to compare every single player, but man, I think so far so good, man. I was impressed with the Leafs throughout those first two periods. But they got to watch that park in the bus shit against the Florida Panthers, man. That is not the team that you want chasing you with a two-goal lead. Like, if you're hanging on to a two-goal lead, you can pretty much guarantee that's going to get wiped away. And what happened? The Panthers wiped away the huge lead that the Leafs had. Made me sweat. Made me very, 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 very nervous. But Morgan Rielly with that huge goal. Matthew Nyes with another gorgeous breakaway goal, man. Like, this guy is the eater of worlds for goaltenders right now. He is just making it look so easy. He's got these goaltenders, like, thinking, oh, he's going to go this way, bam, I go the other way, fuck that. Like, oh, man, Matthew Nyes has been absolutely crushing it. His price point just seems to get higher and higher after each game, which is, I'm still holding firm at the $8 million range. Like, I think it's still going to fall in there, whether it's, you know, gets up to like an 8.8, 8.9. Regardless, I don't think they're going to pay him more than that. But I think they're going to pay him, that's for sure. And Matthew Nye's been a dog out there. Like, he, for me, was the most noticeable guy on that line last night with Matthews and Marner. So I want better out of them. The defense was pretty good. I thought Morgan had a, like, now he seemingly seems more confident, able to jump up in the plays a lot more. And that's when Morgan is at his best. And yeah, so that's been good. The defense has been solid. The Leafs are getting heavily out hit. I mean, it was basically like a 2-1, I think, if I can remember the stats correctly. But it didn't look like that on paper. I noticed the Leafs blocking a lot more shots. They look a lot, you know, aside from them losing their big goal lead, they looked a lot better against the Florida Panthers than they did the last time they met in the playoffs. So I am feeling very optimistic after the big win. So overall, my predictions for this, I am choosing with my heart here. I am choosing the Leafs in seven, which is just going against a lot of things for me. I don't like the Leafs in a Game 7 situation. Personally, I mean, I made these predictions last week. If I was doing it now, I would have chosen Leafs in 6, which is a very optimistic, very, very great thing. I think this Panthers team is dangerous, very dangerous. But, you know, they're missing some things. They don't have Ekblad. They had Seth Jones is playing the most minutes on their team. They don't have the full... They're not getting everything out of Tkachuk. It seems like they're a little bit battered up, which is good for us as Leaf fans. But, yeah, that comeback from Florida was scary. And that, you know, just shows how dangerous the Florida Panthers are, especially when they're trailing, especially in the third period. Leafs got to watch that shit, man. So... yeah, they're definitely a better defensive team than I've ever seen, but I still don't feel confident in them parking the bus on a 1-2 goal lead and just trying to ride out a whole period. I don't think that's a good idea. It rarely works, and you're looking at probably the best team in third periods and comebacks and stuff like that. So not something I want the Leafs to continue to try to do. I think just keep your pedal on the metal if you can. I know you're tired, but it's the Florida Panthers, man, and they thrive on that kind of shit. So far, so good. I got the Leafs in 7. But that was a good first game right there. I was very pleased. It was entertaining. It was fun, stressful, sweat-inducing. So there you go. How do we feel, Leaf fans? Do you feel good after that win? Do you feel not good? Because you lost to Lars. You lost a big goal lead, and they almost came back and won it. So is the confidence high? Is it shaken? Is it low? Do you think, you know, I'm still at the mind. It's just one game. Same mindset as it was with Ottawa when they slapped them in game one. It's like, it's just one game. You're still so far away from the series being over, but it was a pretty good first game. You know, I'm not scared of Bobrovsky. He he can make the big saves, but I don't know, man. He's all over the map a little bit. So you don't really know if Bob can come back with a 970 save percent. I think he had a 940 something in the series last time, and he's not giving them that, and I don't think Florida will get that. Hopefully, anyway. I mean, he can absolutely do it. He's Bobrovsky. He's done it before, so good start. Good start for the Leafs. We'll stick with that, and let's move on to the next series. I think... I'll just check and see who's playing first. I believe it is Edmonton and the... Oh, no. Oh, shit, we got 2 games tonight. Ah, fuck yeah. All right. All right, since I really just don't have much interest in Hurricanes Capitals, let's go to Oilers and the Vegas Golden Knights, which I think is going to be a very fun... Well, actually, you know what I should do? I should probably go back and talk about those Game 7s that went down, because those Game 7s were fucking crazy. All right, let's start with Colorado and Dallas's Game 7. I mean, dude, that was just a poetic game. Epic game, big goals, lots of goals, and Mikko Rantanen has arrived. Oh, man. Back-to-back 4-point games, and he did it in one singular period. 2 games in a row. That's probably, like, the first and only time that's been done. But, obviously, it's the storyline of Mikko Rantanen getting traded from Colorado, going over to Carolina, and it not working out. And now he is back in the West, back in the conference, and he is facing his old team in the first round, and he puts up a fucking hat trick to send them home, man. Like, you cannot write it up better than that. That is just so freaking perfect. And yeah, man, there's it's a huge win for Dallas. That is a massive win. Without Heskinen, without Robertson, they get the job done, man. That was a hell of a performance right there. But a lot of pressure right now being put on the Colorado Avalanche. Like, pretty devastating loss. I've heard of a couple of Colorado friends that are not doing very well right now. And yeah, they feel like they missed a huge opportunity here. It's, you know, they didn't have Heskinen. They didn't have fucking Robertson. So yeah, 2 of arguably their best players they didn't have. But that didn't mean that Dallas was... They're an extremely deep team. That's always kind of been their thing. They're deep as shit. So losing one forward, they can eat that. The defense was where I had the issue. I actually picked Colorado winning this in 7, but which is funny because that goes against my cup pick. My cup pick is Dallas. I have the Dallas Stars winning the cup, but I had them losing in the first round strictly because they didn't have Heskinen. But Thomas Harley stepped up huge, man. He was outstanding. Everyone stepped up in that series, and Mikko Rantanen especially. He came to life. at the right time, man. Like, you couldn't have freaking decided to turn it on at a better time. But to Colorado, like, yeah, that's a tough loss. Yeah. Like, I don't put anything on them. I really hope they don't take this loss, like, very badly, and they do a Chicago Blackhawks, and they blow it up, and, like, no, man, you just had a very unlucky matchup in Dallas, who is an absolute powerhouse team, and you guys took them to 7, man. Like, you got as close, it was as close of a series as it could get. Like, it was very, very close. So, I don't think the Colorado Avalanche are in need of a total tear it down, rebuild it up from the ground up. Absolutely not. I think what they need is just a center. If they can keep Brock Nelson, that'd be awesome. But yeah, they need center depth, man. They really need help on the center, and maybe a little more help on blue line, but I think they fixed the goaltending thing. We'll see if that translates to next year, because it's kind of a year-to-year basis, but looks like goaltending is okay. They just, it still seems like they've been, ever since Kadri left, they've been really trying to plug that hole. And I don't know, maybe just go back and get Kadri. Like, do the get the band back together thing, even though that never works. So if I was a Colorado fan, I would just be like, this just sucks. This was a very unfortunate year where we drew a very, very powerful team in the first round. Like, I'm not going to, like, that was basically a third round. Like, that's the Western Conference final right there. So, you know, I wouldn't look at this as a first round exit. Yes, it is, but I'd put an asterisk beside that, because that's not a true first round exit, man. I'd be, you know, obviously disappointed, no doubt, but I wouldn't be like, yo, this team needs a completely new direction, man. Like, no, you got McKinnon, you got Makar. Yeah, like, yes, in hindsight, the Rantanen thing, it was brain dead. It was stupid. Maybe you're looking a little too far ahead, where you needed to have your focus, like, here. Like, we're in the playoffs now. Let's not worry about playoff runs next year and the year after. Let's focus on this one, and this one we could win with Rantanen. And imagine if they had Rantanen, and then they get Landeskog back. Like, I wanted that the Avs to win for the Landeskog factor. Like, I like both of these teams a lot, but Landeskog coming back, that was so beautiful, and, like, how good he looked, got right back into the top six, scoring goals, putting up points, and, like, I thought that would have been enough, but they didn't win the game that he came back in. That sucked. But, man, what a series that was. That was an outstanding series. Top it off with a beautiful Game 7. It was awesome. That was very, very good. And let's go to the next Game 7 between Winnipeg and St. Louis, and that might have been one of the craziest games ever. Oh my god. So, Connor Hellebuck. More like Connor Hellasuck, am I right? Holy jumping, dude. Again, I got very upset. When he letting that muffin, just a normal wrist shot goes right through him. I was ready to give up. I basically did give up. I was like, that's it. Like, that's the backbreaker. That's the straw that broke the camel's back. Hellebuck did it again, and That was a debate going in. Like, what do? They going in with Hellebuck Game 7, or are you going to switch to Comrie? Like, my wife was like, get that fucking guy out of the net. Put in the backup. Like, holy crap. I'm just like, yeah, I just think now, like, you're in Game 7. Connor Hellebuck is your guy. You kind of have to go with him. If they were going to make that switch, they should have done it in Game 6, Game 5, somewhere else. Like, Hellebuck hasn't looked... He was terrible in this series. He was absolutely dreadful. Terrible. And he was bad in Game 7. He was very bad. And he did not do very much for the Jets until he got out of that net. They pulled him out of there. Fucking, what was it? Namastinky gets the goal on the PP. And then, with 1.6 fucking seconds left in the game, it goes in. Off of Cole Perfetti, that deflection. Like, it looked like the most... Just a chaotic play. Slap pass across, whiffed on the shot, doesn't matter, it bounces off the stick and goes in, top cheese. Like, that crowd exploded, the whiteout was going bananas, dude. That's got to be the craziest goal I think I have ever seen in the playoffs. That was in fucking sane. And then you go to double OT, who better, Captain Adam Lowry, to put it away, sending the Blues packing, and the Jets are soaring off to the second round. Oh my goodness, man. Like, what an effort from the Jets. No thank you to Connor Hellebuck, but damn, dude, those forwards, that team, that is basically the team saying, Connor, thank you so much for your performance in the regular season. We got you on this one, family. So, fucking hopefully Connor Hellebuck got the suck out of him, and he comes back with a vengeance after this, because he got so lucky. He was so lucky that they got through that series, because that would have been the talk all summer long. And it still could potentially be. You know, if they get dusted in the second round and Hellebuck is still terrible, then that'll still be a conversation. But at least they got out of the first round this time. So there's at least that. But that was an insane game seven. And with St. Louis, they ran out of gas, man. They really did. You could see it as the game was going on. They were just, they're losing more battles. They're not getting any more opportunities. And they just ran out of gas, man. As if I was a Blues fan, like, how can you really be, like, I know you're probably had cup aspirations, especially the fans that were there for 2019, and they're like, this feels the same, it's gonna happen again, and it looked like maybe it could, but that's just too good to be true, man. That's too good to be true. I was very impressed with what St. Louis did. They really pushed the Jets to a very stressful Game 7, and it looked like they had it, man. It was like 3-1 with like 5 minutes left. Like, they only had 5 minutes to park that bus and hang on, and they just couldn't. The gas was gone. So that sucks for St. Louis. And it's going to be a really interesting to see where St. Louis goes from here. Like, their offseason moves were slam dunks, bringing in Holloway and Broberg. They were both great. Sucks that Holloway was injured. That, you know, who knows? Maybe that guy scores the goal in overtime and sends them to the second round. But yeah, dude, it was a hell of a season for St. Louis. Lots of ups and downs, and it was a fun run, at least to end it out there. Now, it sucks that they can't get a second round appearance, can't go a little further in there, but, you know, there were quite a few points in the season where it looked like St. Louis was dead, and that's just kind of the story of the season, man. There's a lot of teams that were dead in the water, and they came back. Look at Montreal, look at Ottawa, lots of teams, man, so that was fun. If I was St. Louis, like, optimism. If I were you, like, things are looking, you know, I don't know. They're an interesting team, man. There's young and old parts on that team. They have like some young guys coming up, but I don't know, man. It's definitely gonna be interesting to see what happens with St. Louis. And I think Binnington's going right to the Worlds or whatever, the tournament that goes on. Sidney Crosby and McKinnon are also going, so, like, that's a big boost, right? Oh, I don't know if Bennington's going. I know McKinnon and Crosby are going. Anyway, that was two amazing Game 7s, two awesome series, and the ending to a very awesome first round. Aside from New Jersey, Carolina, and maybe Montreal, Washington, those series were, you know, Montreal Washington had maybe the best game of the whole entire first round. Game 3, first game in Montreal, that was amazing, unreal game. Outside of that, it was pretty meh, but pretty good, man. I will say that Ottawa Toronto was pretty underwhelming. The hatred wasn't there. I hope that builds up. Let's hope for them meeting again next year, and there'll be a lot more animosity towards each other, and build that out throughout the year. We can really get that Battle of Ontario going, because it was a little quiet. But good first round. All right, let's get back to the second round. Let's talk Edmonton. Let's talk Vegas. And LA. Oh my God, man. They blew it so bad in that series. You know, we'll go deep diving on LA in the offseason, but that was a fucking fuck up and a half right there. So they had it. They ended up getting reverse sweep. The whole momentum got shifted to Edmonton when they did that terrible coaches challenge, fucked them over. Edmonton's back. So there you go. 4 years in a row, the LA has been eliminated in the first round by the Edmonton Oilers. So what the fuck do you do? At this point, you just got to do everything you can to avoid the oil. Like, you just can't be there. Don't go against them, but that was devastating. That was bad. All right, so Vegas and Edmonton. What do we have going on here? Well, obviously, Vegas is going to have their work cut out for them here. They got to go up and try and defend Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, who are up to their usual 2 points per game style playoff series. So that's going to be tough to stop. And, you know, watching Vegas get kind of cut up to ribbons by Kaprizov and Boldy, they're not going to have a lot of, it's not going to get any easier with Connor and Draisaitl out there. So that's why I currently have the Edmonton Oilers winning the series in 7 games. If they can't figure out a way for Mark Stone and the boys to shut down McDavid and or Draisaitl, depends how they're going to deploy them in this series, probably going to split them up. Probably the best idea, but obviously they'll be together there on the power play, and their power play is going to be deadly and a massive threat as always. So with Vegas, they're really going to have to settle it down defensively, and they got to get scoring here because their guys have been pretty quiet. No point per game players on the squad right now. You got Jack Eichel leading the charge with 5 points in six games. Thomas Hertl, that's probably their best offensive player throughout the first round. He's got 3 goals, 2 assists, 5 points. Mark Stone, slow start, but he's getting it going. 4 points. Shea Theodore, 2 goals, 2 assists. That's pretty freaking good. Brett Howden would be the big outlier. That's their bottom six. He had like 20-some-odd goal. He did have a really good regular season as well. And he's got 3 goals in 6 games, so he's doing great right there. Pietrangelo looks like he's doing really good. But they're definitely going to need, like, it would be nice to see some goals from more points out of William Karlsson. Pavel Dorofeyev, their 30-goal scorer, he only has 1 goal so far. Riley Smith, be nice to see. He hasn't really, you know, fit in as amazingly. It'd be nice to see him get going. Ivan Barbashev is a -4. You'd like that to be a little bit better. And then goaltending, you know, Aiden Hill hasn't been anything special. He's got the 4-2 record, 283 goals against, and an .880 save percentage. So .880. You know, it is only 6 games, so save percentage are fluctuated, but not great, obviously. Not great, but got the 4 wins. Kira Schmid went in there and made 9 saves, didn't let in anything, so there is a possibility you see a Kira Schmid, but they're definitely going to be starting with Aiden Hill. He's won the Stanley Cup before, so if you're Vegas right here, you gotta try your best to mitigate the offense of the Edmonton Oilers, but like, good luck, man. Like, this is what they do. You got Connor McDavid, 11 points in 6 games. Got Leon, 10 points in 6 games. Evan Bouchard, 7 points in 6 games as a defenseman. So, yeah, Evan Bouchard is a real X factor. Like, he is defensively invisible. He's terrible. But he's leading this team in goals. Like, what the fuck? As a defenseman, like, he is deadly back there. Corey Perry's been doing good. Evander Kane looks like he's doing well. So the team, kind of like their regular season, they get better as they go on. They start a little slow, but they just kind of keep getting better and better. Now, the big question mark with Edmonton is in net. What are they going to do? Calvin Bekaard got them the 4 wins with an .893 save percentage. Not great, not bad, but you want better. But then there's Stuart Skinner, who at this point, not an option. In the 2 games he played, he lost both the games, allowed 11 goals, and he's got an .810 save percentage. So, not playable at this point. Do we see him? I mean, there's probably a chance. Like, if Calvin Bekaard gets lit up in the first 2 games, yeah, they're probably going to try Skinner again, and then we'll see what goes on from there. But, yeah, their goaltender, neither goaltender really brings me a lot of confidence, so I'd be expecting the Oilers to be pushing for offense and trying to score out of their problems, which this team can. They could absolutely do that. They got a lot of offensive power here. And Podkolzin's punching above his weight class a little bit here. He's got 4 points in 6 games. Trent Frederick looks like he's starting to get a little more healthy. Janmark, the janitor, he's got 2 goals, so he looks like he's doing his playoff little thing here as well. Jeff Skinner, still looking for that goal. He's only gotten into 1 game, so what, is he hurt or is he just playing badly? I am not sure. But, hey, look at this. Jake Walman is a +8 on the Edmonton Oilers. That is insanely impressive. Yeah, wow, that's a really good pickup. So I got the Edmonton Oilers winning this game in 7. I hope it's a higher scoring event of a series. If it is, that's definitely going to favor the Edmonton Oilers. If not, Vegas could win this one if they're able to shut down Edmonton, but that is not easy. So stay out of the box. Try your best to stay out of the box and try to shut that team down. But again, will not be easy. So that'll be a fun one to watch tonight. Let's go to the other series, Washington and Carolina. All right, so Carolina, they dealt with their first round matchup. Not a lot of issues going on there for them. I can't even remember New Jersey. So yeah, they got through New Jersey, no real problems. Washington got through Montreal, no real problems. So I don't think rest is really a benefit to any team in the second round, because Carolina and Washington got about the same. Oddly, the Leafs and Panthers kick off the first second round, which is like, why wasn't it Washington and Carolina? They had the longest rest, but anyway, and that also makes sure that there's no Saturday game for the Leafs, which is rare. Anyway, so we'll look at the Carolina Hurricanes. Their big situation is going to be who's in net. Like, is Freddie Anderson healthy enough now? He's healthy enough to get a contract extension, so that's good. 1 year, like $3 million or something like that. Pretty decent. He got into 4 games, 3-1 record with a .936 save percentage. So yeah, you want that guy in the net because he's played outstanding, but he's got to be healthy. And Kochetkov, he's got a .900 save percentage. So it's not like, you know, I'm not going to be like, oh, they're freaking toast if Kochetkov is in there, but you would prefer a healthy Anderson. That'd be great. Offensively, doing pretty good, man. Like, I am very impressed, especially with Svechnikov. He had an outstanding first round. 5 goals, 1 assist, 6 points. Aho was outstanding. 8 points in 5 games. Jarvis was good. Shane Gostisbehere. Blake. Freaking Jackson Blake. He got 4 points. Like, yeah. I'm not seeing, like, you got some high-end goal scoring at the top. Not a whole hell of a lot throughout the depth. You would like to see Jordan Staal get on the board. Maybe Kasperi Kapanen, or Jesperi Kotkaniemi is what I meant to say. He's only got 1 assist. Brett Burns got a couple points. So going into this series, a lot of people are calling out the kind of physicality matchup here, and it's definitely favoring the Washington Capitals. That's a big, strong team, and I don't see anybody on this squad that can answer the Tom Wilson bell. People are talking about Brett Burns, but I don't know, man. Like, yeah, he's big, but it's Tom Wilson, man. Like, I don't think Tom Wilson will be backing down from Brett Burns. No offense. We all remember how good it went with Svechnikov last time he tried to be tough in Washington. Got knocked the fuck out by Ovechkin. So he's probably going to, he might be a little bit nervous coming into this one. We'll see how that one goes, but he's been amazing. So that could be the big outlier for this series, is the physicality matchup. We'll see how Carolina answers the bell. I don't like how Carolina plays. They do a lot of lots of shots. They take a lot of shots, a lot of bad shots, perimeter shots, shots that have 1% or less to go in, but they take the shots when they can. So that's something to watch out for. You know, don't get like too into if Washington gets outshot like 10 or more shots or something. That's just kind of how Carolina plays. They take a lot of bad shots that you're not really worried about. So I'm not too worried about that. You know, Logan Thompson was outstanding. .923 save percentage. So as long as he's nice and healthy, that should be good. Dylan Strom was a monster in the first round. 9 points in 5 games. Wilson, Anthony Beauvillier, McMichael, Ovi, they all had 5 points. So getting production there. You got 3 goals out of Duhaime. You got 2 goals out of Chychrun. So you're getting a little bit of depth. You're getting some blue line scoring. Yeah, so Washington looks deadly. They look really deadly right now. They got a good little bit of rest. And yeah, so I have the Washington Capitals winning this series in 6. I think the physicality will be in their benefit. They got a deep forward group. They're getting healthier. You got Alexi Protas is coming back. He should be ready to go. He got into 1 game. He is very, very big. And I'm just hoping we'll see maybe more as the playoffs go from Ryan Leonard. He is the young man, kind of a young prospect they have there. He's been playing. He's only got 1 assist in 5 games, so I'm hoping he gets it going a little bit. John Carlson's only got 1 assist, but he is a +6, so he's doing things right out there. But you would like to see maybe a goal or two out of John Carlson this round. That'd be really nice and would go a long way. So I got the Washington Capitals winning this one, and personally not that interested in the series. I'll probably have it on in the background, but I don't know if I'm really going to take a whole lot of interest into that series right there. And what do we got left? It's Winnipeg and Dallas, eh? Oh boy. All right. So I'll just go out and say it. I got Dallas in 6. The Hellebuck factor is what's leading my charge in theory and thought right now, is that I don't think Connor Hellebuck's going to find it. Doesn't look like he's going to find it. He might have a game or two where he's like at least usable, where he's like maybe a .900 save percentage and doesn't let in like 4 muffins. But they got lit up pretty good. Like, Hellebuck got lit up bad by St. Louis. And, like, yeah, they got offense, but not like Dallas does. And Dallas could potentially, like, it's still not for sure yet if they're going to get Heiskanen or Robertson in this series. Chances are they will get them back, but not right away. So Winnipeg has another opportunity here. Dallas has already played the whole first round without them, so they're feeling confident that they can win these games without them. But what does Winnipeg do? So let's say Winnipeg gets lit up game one. Let's say Hellebuck lets in five. You gotta go to Eric Comrie, man. You have to go to Comrie. Like, that's just too many chances. If Helly gets lit up one more time, that's it. I am shifting to Comrie. That's what I'd be doing. He's got a 923 in three appearances. So, you know, I would rather take a chance at this point. If Hellebuck can't find it in game one, he's done. He's benched. You're done. So they got to hope. Winnipeg has to get Hellebuck back into this series. If they don't, they're toast. There's no way Dallas is gonna fuck around, and they're gonna light him up. So if Hellebuck isn't Hellebuck, oh dear. But they got Kyle Connor. How much more can he be putting? He's got 12 points in 7 games right now. 4 goals, 8 assists. He's been insanely good. Insanely good. Mason Appleton's been insanely good too. He's got 6 points in 7 games. So they're getting depth out of him. Mark Scheifele's health is in question. He missed 2 games in that first round. Is he going to be healthy to get back? They better hope so, because without Mark Scheifele, they're so fucked. Cole Perfetti was really good. Neil Pionk was really good. They got some depth out of Namastankinov. 3 goals out of Adam Lowry. Josh Morrissey could be better. -5, 3 points. You know, you want better out of him. Nikolai Ehlers got to get going. He was only in 2 games, but get some goals. I would like to see Luke Shen play better. He has been, I would say, bad. -8. Yeah, you need better play from him. Gabriel Vilardi is in the series. He's back in the playoffs now. He's still got no points in 3 games. You got to get him going. So, yeah, man, there's a lot of things that the Jets got to get going here. If they can, if all of that goes right, they get Mark Scheifele back. Hellebuck's playing good again. The depth scoring continues. Even then, I don't feel good about Winnipeg's chances, even if all that goes right, because Dallas has already proved that they could take out a powerhouse team like Colorado without their 2 best players on the squad. So, yeah, and they got Jake Oettinger, who's 9-11 save percentage. He's going strong. Not amazing, but he's good. He's doing real good. Mikko Rantanen has come to life, and that's got to be terrifying. So we'll see if he can continue that. You know, if he continues to put up 4 points every game, I think Dallas is going to walk away in 4 games after this one. But Roope Hintz is 7.7 games. Wyatt Johnson got it going. Thomas Harley's been great. Tyler Seguin got it going. Cody Ceci's got 3 points. Like, wow. You want a little more out of Mason Marchment. Maybe some less penalties. The guy's got 10 PIMs already. Might want to calm that down a little bit. Matt Duchene, he's a -6. You want a little better out of him. Jamie Benn, we can use more than 2 points out of you, my boy. We can use a little more. Mikael Granlund, we can use more than 2 points out of you, my dog. So let's get that going. Outside of that, I think they're looking pretty good. Looking pretty good. Dallas got to feel really good right now. Now, they both went to 7, so it's not like, again, that there's no benefactor of rest here. They're both... both went to grueling Game 7 series, so I don't think there's any real benefit there. So yeah, man, I'm pretty firm on Dallas. Even if things go right with Winnipeg, I just was not really impressed with what I was seeing out of Winnipeg. It seems like they continue with the strategy of just, you know, believe in Hellebuck back there, but clearly that is not the way to do it in the playoffs. Like, you got to play better in front of Hellebuck. I don't think it's all on Hellebuck. There's definitely been some bad coverage by the Winnipeg Jets. Like, yeah, I should say it's definitely not all on Hellebuck. He's led in bad goals, and those are on him. But there's been really bad coverage as well on the side of the Winnipeg Jets defense, so they got to be a lot better. They were able to get away with it against St. Louis. This is Dallas. You will not get away with it. So we'll see if the Winnipeg, like I said, a lot's got to go right. Got to get some bounces, but it's Dallas in 6. That's who I'm going with. Very confident in Dallas in this series. But let me know, what do you think? You know, I would love to see a Canadian team continue onward. That'd be great. We're down to 2, right? It's 3. Got Edmonton, Winnipeg, and Toronto. So they could, all three of them can get wiped out, and that's it. No cup for Canada again, or all three can move on, and the chances are even better. But then you have a guaranteed of, at least one. If you end up with the Jets versus Edmonton, you get a guaranteed Canadian team in the final, and then it's just up to the Leafs in the East. So we'll see how that one goes, but let me know how bad my predictions are. Oh, I should check and see how they were in the first round. Let's go back and check that out. Okay, so Toronto and Ottawa, I had it Toronto in six. That was correct. I had Tampa Bay winning in seven. Very, very incorrect. I had Carolina in seven. Incorrect. Carolina got it done in five. Montreal and Washington, Washington in five. That was correct. I had Winnipeg in seven. That was correct. Minnesota versus Vegas. I had Vegas in five. Incorrect. I think that was Vegas in six. So, but I had the winner correct. LA versus Edmonton. I had LA in six. Wrong. Dallas versus Colorado. I had Colorado in seven. That was also wrong. And it went against my cup picks. So don't really know how I judge that one, but that's how it goes. So, there we go. So let me know how good or bad your predictions were, and let's get back to the news. And let's talk about the NHL draft lottery that happened, a little secret-y there, and look at this. The New York Islanders win the draft lottery. They move up 10 spots. So that's a win right there for Patrick Waugh. And hey, maybe Lou will come back. He's like, actually, I'm not retired anymore. I select now. Ah, all right. So that's pretty neat. Not too often you see a big lottery win like that. So let's go through. They do have a mock draft here. So we'll go through who the experts believe these. Let's just go through like the top five or some shit. I don't know. Let's just get into it. So New York, they claim they would take Matthew Schaefer, the 6'2" defenseman from the Erie Otters in the OHL. I think the Islanders would be fucking crazy to make that selection. You want to know why? Because Michael Misa's right there. Michael Misa, center, 6'1", 184 pounds. That's what they need. They need a center, man. They need offense. They need offense so bad on the island, man. They need forwards. They need some scoring power. And I, if I was the GM of the New York Islanders, I'm taking Michael Misa first overall, 6'1" center. Hell yeah, sign me up. Give me him. But the professionals believe it'll be Matthew Schaefer. And here's their little note. With Cal Ritchie and Danny Nelson down the middle and scoring winger Cole Yzerman also in the fold, Matthew Schaefer is a perfect fit to add to the blue line for the Islanders. Well, listen to this. You know what they say in the NHL? You never have too many centers. Now, they do say that as well about defense, but you can never have too many centers. Draft centers. Get that center. It's not, unless does this guy shoot fucking right? You right shot defenseman? Doesn't say. So the second overall pick goes to the San Jose Sharks, who have been making a lot of big picks lately. They've been in that first overall pick last year. They had like the fourth. They've had some pretty good picks. So second overall, they say they're picking Michael Misa, which again, yeah, you can't have too many centers, but like Celebrini, isn't Will Smith supposed to be a center? I know they're playing together, but isn't he supposed to be a center? Regardless, if that is like their 1-2 punch, you go fucking Celebrini, fucking Michael Misa, 1-2 wombo combo. Oh, baby, that would be sexy. And then it wouldn't be right away. You still have Logan Couture there. Is he, or did he retire? I think Logan Couture actually retired. Anyway, I mean, yeah, if Michael Misa is there, second overall, I mean, absolutely take that kid. He was at least for most of the time I've been keeping my eyes on this, he's been the consensus number one overall pick. But this draft is a little bit loosey-goosey. There's a lot of different opinions. There isn't really a clear-cut number one selection. But hearing a lot of good things about Michael Misa. All right, third goes to the Chicago Blackhawks. They definitely earned this pick. And they're going to select, according to the professionals, Caleb Desnoyers, who is a 6'2" center from the QMJHL. Fourth overall goes to the Utah Hockey Club, which could be the Utah Mammoth, as far as the internet is speculating. They're going to go with Porter Martone, the right winger, 6'3", 208 pounds. So he kind of seems like the most NHL-ready out of the names that I've mentioned so far. So that could be really good. Right winger, went to the wrong thing. Fifth overall goes to Nashville. They were dreadful this year. Tell the Nashville Predators fans that they'd be selecting fifth overall at the next draft. They'd be like, did someone die? Like, what the? Did Stamkos explode? Like, what the hell happened? It's like, nah, your team just sucked. Don't know what to tell you. But yeah, fifth overall, they're going to go with James Haggins, the 5'11" center from NCAA Boston College. Okay. All right. Heard some pretty good things about James Haggins. That seems like a pretty fun pick. Sixth, you got Philadelphia. We're not going to talk about the players anymore. Then it's Boston at 7. Seattle Kraken selecting at 8. Buffalo Sabres number 9. And the Anaheim Ducks rounding it out in the top 10. And we'll just keep going. Pittsburgh 11. New York Rangers 12th. You got Detroit 13. Columbus Blue Jackets 14. Vancouver Canucks 15. And then the 16th pick is going to the Montreal Canadiens. That was owned by the Calgary Flames. But they're going to send that pick to Montreal because that's the right thing to do. That's a worthy pick to send away. I'm not really sure what the Flames are going to be like next year. They punched way above their weight class this year. So it seems like a smart move to do it this year because they could be worse next year. Like, I really don't know. I did see that Matthew Coronato got a extension. I believe it was a 7-year extension. Well, how many years? Hold on, let me find it. We'll find it. I'll talk about some of those other signings as well. Because you can sign guys right now, apparently. Okay, not trades. Signings, please. There we go. Okay, so Montempaolo got a 2-year extension worth $875,000. That's a pretty good deal. Frederick Anderson, like I said, 1 year, $2.75 million. That one's pretty good. And then Matthew Coronato gets a 7-year extension worth $6.5 million annually. So pretty good. I mean, Matthew Coronato, he had like 24 goals this year, 23 assists in 77 games. So good. Pretty good. Good, not great. Let me take a look at your career. How'd you do last year? Last year, he only got into 34 games, 3 goals. So, hey, that's a hell of an improvement for him. He was a plus 6, which is actually really impressive for him. So, yeah, man, that could be a dandy of a contract. Like, if he ends up starting to produce the 30 goals, gets up to like 30, 35, 6.5, if you can get a consistent 30-goal guy, young, fast, yeah, man, that could age very, very nicely. Or it could just be okay at best. At worst, I think it'll be like, not really like a deal you think about. So pretty good work right there from the Flames, and congratulations to the New York Islanders who luck into the first overall pick. All right, let's move now to the award finalists that the NHL likes to release like one day at a time throughout the NHL playoffs. So we'll go through the finalists for the awards that they have announced so far. So the Jack Adams for Coach of the Year, your finalists are Scott Arneil from Winnipeg, Spencer Carberry from Washington, and Martin Saint-Louis from the Montreal Canadiens. Out of those three, I think it's Spencer Carberry's to lose. They won the President's Trophy, did they not? So that's pretty much, I would think it's Spencer Carberry. Not as much expectations on the Washington Capitals. Though Martin Saint-Louis, he did pretty fucking good too. So, I mean, all three of them did really well. Let me pull up my predictions here, because I have those as well. Who did I have as the finalists for the awards? All right, Jack Adams, I had Rod the Bod, Carolina. I chose Washington's coach, even though I didn't know his name, and Lindy Ruff from Buffalo. So I got one right. That's something. Lady Bing is for the most gentlemanly player, I think. Jack Eichel, Vegas. Anze Kopitar, Los Angeles. And Braden Point, Tampa Bay. I don't even think I predicted this award. Did I? I doubt it. There's no fucking way. Nah, I didn't. I don't know. I would go Kopitar, probably. The Masterton could literally go to... It has to... I don't even care. I see this. It's him. Marc-Andre Fleury, Minnesota. Sean Monahan, Columbus. It's Gabriel Landeskog. Gabriel Landeskog, without a doubt, is getting this award, bro. 3 years away. And he worked so hard. And he came back and did what he did. Incredible. But there's a lot of amazing stories. Sean Monahan, like, going through what he did with the loss of Johnny Gaudreau. Marc-Andre Fleury's just continuous dedication to the love of hockey. Oh, I love that man. The Selkie, you got, I think for like, definitely the first time in a long time. I think they said since Detroit, with Zetterberg and Datsyuk was the last time two players on the same team got voted for the Selke. So you got Barkov from Florida, Reinhardt from Florida, and Anthony Sorelli from Tampa Bay, which is located in Florida. Why are all the good defensive players in Florida? I don't know. Honestly, I kind of want Sam Reinhardt to win it, but it's probably going to be Barkov. Norris Trophy, you got... Oops, hold on. Selke, I made predictions on that. Who did I pick? Selke, I chose Barkov, Matthews, and Hischier. So, I mean, Barkov, that's the free space. You have to put in Barkov. That's just how that goes. Norris Trophy, you got Quinn Hughes, Vancouver, Cale Makar from Colorado, and Zach Werenski, Columbus. Fuck yeah. Happy to see Zach in there. I think it's going to be Makar's. But my Norris nominees were Makar, Yossi, and Hughes. So I got two out of the three. Not bad. Yossi probably would have been in there, but he had an injured, riddled season. So that sucks. But Zach Werenski was awesome. But I think Cale Makar will win that. Vezina, Connor Hellebuck, Winnipeg, Darcy Kemper, LA, and Andre Vasilevsky, Tampa Bay. It's going to be Hellebuck to win it, obviously. But, pretty hard, like, when they're talking about Connor Hellebuck, how good his regular season was. Meanwhile, he's putting up just abysmal numbers in the playoffs. It's like, oh, man, that's awkward. That's an awkward situation. Vezina, I can't even fucking believe I didn't put Hellebuck down there. I had Saros, Shesterkin, and Sorokin. Wow, I'm dumb. All right. I really didn't believe in Winnipeg this year. I mean, I really didn't, I guess. But, yep, those were not good. All right, what do we got next? Oh, holy shit, I'm going way the wrong way. All right, Ted Lindsay, is that the one awarded from the players, I think? So you got Kucherov, Tampa Bay, MacKinnon from Colorado, and Cale Makar from Colorado. Ooh, that's a tough one. That's a toughie. I'd go MacKinnon. I think he's the most entertaining player, in my opinion. So I'll go with MacKinnon. What did I predict? Ted Lindsay, did I even do that one? Ted Lindsay had McDavid, Matthews, and MacKinnon, so I had one of them. All right, and the final one is the Hart Trophy. Leon Draisaitl, Connor Hellebuck got the nod, and Nikita Kucherov. Kucherov again, like, he, same thing as last year, like, he is just so far ahead, like, everybody else on his team. Leon Draisaitl, like, all the work that he did when McDavid was down, leading goal scorer. And then there's Connor Hellebuck. Like, I think without Hellebuck, Winnipeg doesn't make the playoffs. I don't think I can say the same thing for the other. Like, yeah, Kucherov probably. I think Edmonton, you know, if they had McDavid, like, I think Edmonton would make it. Ooh, that's a tough one, man. That's really tough. I can almost feel like Hellebuck is the most important player to his team. But Kucherov's right there. I think it's between those two. No offense to Leon, but... he also very, very important. I just think it'd be more detrimental to Tampa Bay and Winnipeg if they didn't have those players. I think Edmonton could make it because they have McDavid, but obviously that's why, you know, a big reason why Draisaitl's in there is because McDavid was down and Edmonton didn't really miss a beat because Draisaitl, like, stepped the fuck up, as he always does. So those are all the awards they have currently released right now. And the final piece of news is the Mike Sullivan signing. He is now the official head coach of the New York Rangers. Not really a shock. That was pretty much the worst-kept secret. It was all but a guaranteed last week by Elliot Friedman. So, boom, it happens. We're not shocked. And just like all the other predictions, he is, in fact, now the highest paid coach by year, which, yeah, doesn't really shock me. That was, what, so long ago, the Mike Babcock signing. So, yeah, it's about time that the coaches caught up. They're inevitably going to start making more money as time goes on, as the salary cap goes up and teams make more and more money. Coaches are going to make more money. And the Rangers have never been shy of throwing around money like that. So, yeah, obviously Mike's, and he's worthy. He's a worthy coach. He was the second longest running coach outside of John Cooper. So, and he won 2 Stanley Cups. So, yeah, obviously it's just not a lot of success recently, but I think it's a great fit. I think the Rangers should be back in the playoffs next year, you know, as long as nothing crazy happens, but it is the Rangers. So there is that. And yeah, so let me know what you think about all that stuff. Outside of that, that's all I got. That's it. So let me know what your predictions are for the second round. How do we feel, Leaf fans? Do we feel good? Do we feel like that was just we got very lucky and made it through the skin of our teeth or whatever? Yeah, a little bit. Definitely a little bit. But the Leafs hung on. Normally, they would have broke and given up the lead and lost that game. They didn't. So, you know, there is, it's been said numerous times, this team is different. This team is absolutely different, and that's great. So, I have them winning in seven. Let's hope it doesn't go that far. Let's hope they get it done in fucking six. That'd be great. So, there we are. There we go, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. You the best. You want to be even more of the best, though? Make sure you're reviewing the podcast wherever you're listening to it. Give it a nice, honest review and all that great stuff. Drop a comment. If you're on Spotify, you can do that. Send in suggestions. Let me know what you're doing. You got any questions for the podcast, wrestling, video games, hockey stuff, send them on in. You want, yeah, man, it's all there for you. I also upload all these episodes to the YouTube channel, GamerGX Videos. Go over there, subscribe. The links are all in the description. Another great place, you want to drop a comment, drop one on a YouTube episode. Again, questions, everything, I'll shout you out, answer your question on the pod, be really awesome. And there's an email address and, oh, wait, not an email address. There is a Twitter page as well. I do put up stuff on Twitter every now and again, so you can go over there, follow along. Great place you want to, you know, send in suggestions, let me know what you're playing, all that great stuff. Twitter's there for you. And, yeah, so what else we got going on with the pod right now? Well, we did, WrestleCast just came out. We got Backlash this weekend, so there'll be a pay-per-view PLE review for Backlash when I get to it, the regular recap. And GamerCast, we're going to be doing a versus. I'm not going to tell you what's going up against each other, but it will be a versus this week for the GamerCast. Last week I talked about Game Pass, so if you want, if you got Game Pass, don't have Game Pass, that is me just kind of listing off a bunch of awesome games that I think are on Xbox Game Pass, how awesome it's been lately, just banger after banger after banger, and where we're going, and all that great stuff. So check out that episode, please and thank you, and outside of that, that's all we got going on. So thank you again for listening. We'll be back again with somehow GX Plus Cast.